at the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. Kind of enjoy preaching some of these Old Testament stories, giving a New Testament lesson to it. And that's what we'll try to do again this evening. I know some of you appreciate these Old Testament stories too. And going out the door this morning, even Odell said, you know, Brian Taylor's one of my favorite Old Testament characters. Well, that's good. One of mine too. You get a man 85 years old and still says, give me this mountain, I'm all for him. Still wants to go to work and overcome all the obstacles. I like Caleb too. So this one still, we're looking at the sixth wherein's of Malachi. The word wherein is found in the King James translation. But again, just going back, we went halfway through these notes, so we'll kind of pick up halfway through again. But just by way of introduction, the year is 538 B.C., before Christ. City of Jerusalem is in ruins. Walls are broken down. Temples and houses have been burned. Everything of value has been taken away. Other nations began living in the land. Many of the Jews had been taken captive 70 years earlier by Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, carried away 1,500 miles. Now, after Babylon, the Persian Empire comes into power. Cyrus is king, and he issues a decree that allows the Jews that have been in captivity for the last 70 years to return to their homeland. And that, but just kind of a by the way, Ezra chapter 1, the first four verses, gives you a copy of that decree that Cyrus made. Ezra chapter 2 gives you a list of names for about 60 verses of just one name after another of those who are making the return back to Jerusalem. And in verse 64, Ezra 2, chapter 2, verse 64 says the whole assembly together was 42,360 that are going back. Then he adds to the number, also their male and female servants, of whom were 7,337. And they had 200 men and women singers. So Cyrus, in the opening chapters of Ezra, issues the decree, go back to Jerusalem. Not everyone goes back. Daniel stays. But a man named Zerubbabel leads a group back to rebuild the temple. Haggai and Zechariah, they're in Jerusalem, and they urge the Jews to complete the work of rebuilding the temple because the temple work had stopped because the workers began to get discouraged, and they began building their own houses, and for 14 years, the temple building stopped. So Haggai and Zechariah said, we need to get back to the temple building. Ezra goes back to Jerusalem, and he's a preacher for spiritual reform, and he's reviving them and telling them to live rightly in God's sight. Nehemiah goes back, and he has permission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now Malachi, he's a fellow worker with all these other names that I just gave you, with these other prophets in Jerusalem, and his message provides a summary of Israel's rebellion against God. Tells them why you've been in this captivity. And he calls them to repentance. And six times he uses that word wherein in the King James translation. The first one, I tried to put as much in your notes as I could. The wherein was chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, wherein, or the New King James says, in what way hast thou loved us? Wow. So, and Malachi reminds them about God's love for them. The second one is still also in chapter 1, verse 6. Son honors his father. Servant is master. I then am the father, my honor. And if I am a master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, who despise my name. Yet ye say, wherein or in what way have we despised thy name? And so Malachi Malachi says you need to give God the honor that he deserves. The third one is in again, chapter 1, verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? But verse 8 answers the question, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is that not evil? Malachi continues, and if you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Offer it to the governor. That's what he said. See if he'll be pleased with that or accept thy person. So that's kind of where we left off last week, the polluted sacrifices of Israel. And yet in each one of these situations, they're saying, are we really doing that? So now we catch number 4 in our lesson for tonight, 4, 5, and 6. In chapter 2, verse 17, you can open up the Bible, your Bible, if you want to read some verses before and after. But in chapter 2, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Uh-oh. But yet you say, wherein, or in what way, have we wearied him? Well, Malachi tells them exactly how they wearied him. When you go back to the beginning of chapter 2 and get the full context of this statement, Malachi begins to list the ways that the people have wearied God. In verse 2, he says, if you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name. Ooh, so God gets weary. We don't hear him. We don't glorify his name. Verse 8, Malachi gives another statement. But you have departed from the way. You've caused many to stumble. See, what they were doing was affecting others. That little leaven, leavening the whole lump. And what some were doing, it caused the whole congregation to do. And so, you caused many to go the opposite way. So sometimes if you say, you know, what if I don't attend? What does it matter? Well, you may cause others not to attend. What if I don't give? Well, others say, well, if not giving, I don't have to give either. See, so Malachi points that out with Israel. In verse 14, another one, the way that God is weary, says, but yet ye say, for what reason? Then he answers, because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you've dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Verse 17, after he closes, after they ask what way have we wearied him, says in that, and the verse 17 concludes, in that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And God delights in him. Wow. So I guess the lesson is when we look at the ways that Malachi points out that they weary God, kind of look at that list again and say, am I doing something like that? Am I going to weary God with when my promises are not fulfilled? When I don't measure up to my obligation? Am I making God weary? You have expectations of others. And when they don't measure up, you kind of go, you're just exasperated. You know, when Paul gives that list of things that he suffered in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, he says, you know, I've been shipwrecked and all these perils of this and that and the other. And then that last phrase is the one that always catches my attention. Besides of all of these things, how I've been beaten and in the dark and famine and cold and all these things. And then besides all that, there's the care for the churches. You know, I can get over a beating. I put some salve on that or a cast. But care for the churches? How do you stab that? What kind of medicine can you take to get over that? You know, so Paul is saying, God, I can understand. Brethren, others weary us when they don't measure up. Maybe when our children don't meet our expectations. So that's number 4. Number 5, I know I'm preaching to the proverbial choir. I'm get a chance to just listen to this lesson again on Sunday morning. Yeah, I know. Wait a minute, I've already heard it twice. Number five. I'm going to do number four again. Number five. Chapter 3, verse 7. And from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. Oh. Not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you. Yet you say, wherein or in what way shall we return? As if you don't know. Malachi says that God's offering a glorious opportunity to make things right. Just get back on track. Return. Stop doing the things that took you away and do those things that keep you in God's service. Return. God has shown them the error of their way, their wretchedness, the things that led them away. Come back to the ordinances. Read the law. Malachi. We have the same thing. In verse 5, just previous to the person in verse 7, but just right before verse 7, verse 5. They do not fear God. When we don't walk in God's ordinances, who is God? Why should I obey God? And when we have that kind of attitude, no fear of God, do what I want to. God's not going to hurt me. I've done a lot of maybe some horrible things in the past. I don't feel any effects of it. So Malachi's congregation is saying, I don't have any fear of God. So Malachi comes along and says, you need to return. And they say, return? Why would I want to do that? The warnings abound. I have a list of just a couple verses. Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Return to the ordinance. Matthew 15, verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. I just want to have it my way. Wait a minute, you're transgressing the commandment by saying God should be pleased with the way that I'm presenting myself to him. On my terms. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, wait a minute, give them an attaboy. We have Jews believing on you, Jesus? Jesus says, no. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we're living in a world that simply says, I want to give my worship and sacrifice to God the way that I want to, and God should be pleased with that. But Jesus says to these Jews who believe, he doesn't say, attaboy, he doesn't give them applause, say, you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Like Malachi. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Return to the ordinances. And you're familiar with the one in Revelation 22, beginning of verse 18. If you add to the word, God will add to you the plagues. You take away, write your name out of the book. So Malachi is preaching these kinds of things to his congregation. They're saying, don't think so. I don't see it that way, Malachi. The last one, number six. Ask the question, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. They say, wherein or what way have we robbed you? Malachi answers them, in tithes and offerings. It's interesting, Malachi couldn't believe that a people so blessed by God could rob God. If you have a group of people, a congregation back then that were already used to giving God pollution, the sick and the lame as a sacrifice, it's not surprising that they're not going to give their treasure. Need to appreciate David's attitude. I didn't put that one in your notes either. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 24, David said to Ornan, no, I'll buy it for the full price, the land. I'm going to make a sacrifice. David said, I'll not take what is yours for the Lord, nor will I offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. verse 25, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 25. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. David built there an altar to the Lord, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, called on the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offerings. David said, yeah, how much? I'm going to give God something that you're going to give to him. I want it. When he mentioned, Malachi mentioned tithes and offerings, that's the tenth part to be given to the Lord. That's in Leviticus 27. That's in your notes. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Then they had other offerings that were required throughout the year. So tithes and offerings. There was a reason to do that. Malachi goes on in verse 10. And God says, through Malachi, says, see, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, meaning God's house. And this, says the Lord of hosts, see that if I will open the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive the tithes. You're going to get good things back. I know we're not under obligation to tithe. However, the question still remains, do not rob God, or the statement, don't rob God. Put just a couple things in closing in your notes. Treasure, first of all, 2 Corinthians 9, beginning of verse 6. This I say, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully, thinks the opposite, shall also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So you give as you purpose, I give as I purpose. Not grudgingly, he continues, or of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver. And then that promise, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So when we give back to God, at this point, our treasure, it's going to come back in some way by God's design so that we can have to give again. Then the offerings, and we give our time, our talent, our service, our examples, our ministry. Although Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 16, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works, glorify your Father. So we do it to give God glory. So there's your six whereins of Malachi. The last verses I put in your notes are just the verses that mention the value of studying the Old Testament. They're written for our admonition, our learning, and they're examples for us. So there's your study of Malachi, at least in the form of those six statements. So wherein have we done these things? That is obvious. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. There is one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. We certainly want to offer this invitation. We do it often, at the close of every lesson. You know that plan, those steps that we mentioned. Hear that word of God, believe it, repent, your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And when those four things are in place, you can be baptized for remission of sins and walk in newness of life. From that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One that has breath of encouragement, we can accomplish that also. Just simply let your request be known. Let's stand together, sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.